Lord said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And we appreciate the privilege that we have to pray together and trust God together. And thank God for it. Won't you turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Colossians. Do see some folk at our vision with us. Appreciate you being here. Other than the Couch family, we've already mentioned being here, but appreciate other visitors coming in and being in the house of God with us on this Wednesday night. Isn't it good to come up in the middle of the week and come to the house of God? I tell you, out there all week and amongst the other things of this world that we are exposed to, and just being a part of living this life. But I'm glad, thank God, there's one with us that'll help us, and then we can come together and worship God and let God help us tonight. We're going to look at this and be kind of brief tonight, and then get on up to the funeral home and let Brother Jeff and his family know we care about that. Looking to see what time it was. Brother Couch, I'm going to preach, but would you step up here just a minute and take about 5 minutes. Tell us what is going on in your life about the work. Appreciate that. We ask you to give testimony and pray. Just tell us a little bit about what's going on real quick.
Away from the capital city, Santiago, so we're a long way up and we're in the desert. But not only is it a desert physically, it's a desert spiritually. We're there preaching the Word of God, and we have so many towns and so many villages, so many cities that we need preachers that preach the Word of God and not compromise the Scriptures. More people every day are compromising. By the grace of God, I want to stay with the book and in the book and preach the Word of God and see people saved. We have established two works in the northern part of Chile, one on the coast in the city of Iquique. It's a city of around 300,000 people, and a little work up in the mountains of Chile, up in Mamiña, and 9,000 feet above sea level, where we go up and preach to them on Saturdays. Just so we can be on Sunday in our church. We've seen that happen. We've seen God do it. But you know, it's through the prayers of the saints of God that our missionaries around the world can work. If they don't have our prayers and our backing, they can go, but they may not be able to work, because the devil don't like it when somebody steps in his territory and proclaims the Word of God. He'll begin to attack that family. He'll try his best to destroy their health, destroy their marriage, destroy their home, destroy their family. So the missionary needs your help in praying for them. Brother Brady needs your help, and all the rest of them. Brother Waters needs your help. In places all around the world, a missionary cannot do without the church backing them up. If you forget about us, we're in trouble. We're going to have a whole hard time down there. But if y'all gather around your missionaries and begin to pray for them and seek the face of God for them, you can see God do greater things. Listen, when a missionary comes here and tells the stories of the people that have gotten saved, you may say, well, he's just bragging about his stories. But really, they're not his stories, they're your stories. You have a right to claim those because you have helped them on the field. And you have prayed for them, and you have helped send them to the field. So when they tell of a story of somebody getting saved, no matter how old they are, how young they are, that's to your glory, that's to your rewards in heaven. And we appreciate this time here tonight with y'all. I wish y'all would pray for us, because we still need prayers on the mission field. We have somebody in the work now watching the work while we're here. I'm hoping maybe he can be there and me and my wife can move to another part of the town, another part of the city to start another work. But if it's not that, he'll be there to go somewhere else. But we are missionaries in the northern part of Chile. I appreciate the time, Pastor, for this time to present our word.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. Amen. We appreciate that so very much. Appreciate missionaries, those carrying the gospel. And we always are honored to have them in our midst and appreciate them stopping by and visiting with us. All right, in Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. I want you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. We'll start at verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Our missionary just mentioned about praying for them, and that's certainly what we need to do, pray one for another. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Now look down to verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even in forgiveness of sins. Let's bow our heads again just for a word of prayer. After that, you may be seated. Father, thank you again for the privilege just to bow our heads and say thank you for this night. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for our dear brother that we just heard share his heart and about Chile. And I pray, God, you'd help him and his family and watch over and care for them and bless them and use them in establishing churches for your glory. I pray for all of our missionaries. Then again, Father, we ask you tonight that you'd help the Wilson family. I pray for them, their family, and ask God you touch hearts and lives and minister unto them this evening, tomorrow, and days to come. Then, Lord, we ask you to help those that are sick, those who are mentioned. And, Father, we thank you and praise you for what you are doing. Ask you tonight now to help us preach for a few moments. We need your touch. I pray for the Holy Spirit, illuminate our minds, help us to think and be able to say what we need to say. I pray make it real to us tonight. Lord, speak to hearts. I pray for those that know not the Lord Jesus, that the Holy Ghost would bring conviction and draw them unto yourself. I pray you'd help those who are discouraged or despondent or having problems, difficulties. I ask you, God, to help them. We know there's some not here tonight because of difficulties and things that are happening, unforeseeable and unable to do anything about. But, Lord, you're able, and I pray in Jesus' name, the power of God, the touch of God be upon them. Help us now tonight, and we'll give you the glory, the praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tonight, I just want to share four or five things with you about privileges of being saved. Privileges of being saved. I'm glad that I am saved, know that I'm saved, and we thank God for that. I want to share just a few things with you, like I said, four or five tonight, and just pick them out of the scripture here and look at those, and then there's more could be brought out, there's more could be said than what I'll say tonight. But I pray that God will use it and speak to somebody's heart and encourage all. It's a privilege to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's not something you take just for granted. And if we're not careful, we do that. But what a privilege we have. I want you to look at the first one. Look at verse number 5 and the last part of that verse, last half of it. Whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. We've heard the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Gospel is all of the New Testament. The gospel is the coming of Christ. Why he came. We're sinners. He's the Savior. And I'm thinking about Brother Stennett Ballou right now, Evangelist Stennett Ballou. Many of you know him. He's preached here. And I've never heard him preach. I don't think, except when he prayed that he thanked God that he was born in America and thanked God he'd heard the gospel. I don't know exact words he says, but something along those lines. He always does that. And I believe he does it from the heart. And I believe it's real to him, and it ought to be real to us tonight. We ought to thank God that we were born in a country where we could hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as readily as it is available to us today, especially in this part of the country. But they certainly, even in Spartanburg County, people that don't know Jesus, they know about him. And some people, believe it or not, there's probably some in Spartanburg County that really don't have any idea who Jesus really is. All they know is a name, maybe it's a curse word or a spy word. That's about all they know. But I'm glad I was born in a country where I could hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I thank God for the gospel, the privilege for the gospel, and to be preached unto me. Amen. Aren't you glad for the gospel? Brother, down in Chile, I bet in some of those villages, they've not heard the gospel. And some places you go, they are hearing the gospel for the first time. And isn't it good, Brother Pertell, as you take the gospel to those that maybe have never heard, never don't know about, but he works in America in different places, but he does some things that I'm not cut out for, but he is. And God uses him in that way. And reaching young folk and children, young folk, and as well as the older folk. But I like what he said about what he does about in the beginning of it when they come into a fire or something. He has a trailer set up so he can show them about creation, tell them about where we came from. Now, a lot of people today don't even know where we came from, and they surely need to know that. And I said to someone one time, I don't think my ancestors swung by their tail, but I don't doubt some of them didn't swing by their neck. I don't doubt that in the least bit, but we came from God, amen? He's the creator, we're the creature. But I'm glad God saw fit for me to hear the gospel. What a privilege it is to hear the gospel. But let me say this, what a privilege it is to be involved in sharing the gospel. Amen, in sharing the gospel, what a privilege that is. I praise God and thank God for it. And we can share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And the missionaries said, as men missions and being involved in praying for, giving to, and helping, but thank God we can tell it right here ourselves. And every one of us can be a missionary where we are and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. The gospel, it's a privilege to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Secondly, look at verse number 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, I'm glad for the faith that God has given to it. The Bible said in Romans 10:17, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God gives us the word, we hear the word, people get convicted by the word, and faith's generated. The Bible said God giveth every man a portion of faith. I forget the exact wording of that, but I'm telling you, faith comes from God. You didn't hatch it up yourself. You didn't draw yourself and hatch up your own faith. But you heard the gospel, amen? And God began to work in your heart and began to work in you, and you began to see where you really are. And then faith began to work in your heart. And as you had to make a choice, now, I'm not saying you don't get saved because you choose. But every man has a choice to make. It says, whosoever will, let him come. And that means people have a choice about it. But I want you to know salvation is of the Lord. God's the one that originates that in your heart, or it doesn't get there. And I'm not a Camelite, and I'm not one of those, but I do believe in the sovereignty of God. I do believe he's sovereign God. I do believe that God has to work in hearts and lives for people to ever see they need a Savior. But I'm glad, praise God, whether it's in Chile or Spartanburg, South Carolina, or whether it's in Alabama, whether it's in some other country, some other place, that God is able to do that work in the gospel of the Lord Jesus being preached and faith is generated. Now, there's a difference in the faith and faith in Christ Jesus. The faith in Jude, the Bible talks about in verse 3, contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's talking about the belief, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He's talking about the faith that we have. But here he's talking about faith in Jesus Christ, our personal faith. And I thank God for that. Aren't you glad you believed the gospel? Aren't you glad, thank God, that you stepped out on faith and came to Jesus and got saved one day? You had to do that by faith. And so thank God. What a privilege it is to hear the gospel and have faith in your heart. What a privilege it is for that faith to grow and build in your heart. But look at verse number 12. And the latter part of that verse, I want to show you the third thing here. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And verse 13, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us unto the kingdom of his dear son. I want to put that together and thank God for the light that we're in. Amen. That's a privilege. Aren't you glad that you're in the light? I'm going to comment a little bit on this tonight, and I pray God to help me do this because I think it's something to help us all to understand. And because we certainly was in darkness before we ever got saved. And it wasn't in some darkness. We was in complete darkness before God began to work in our hearts. And I thank God for the light. Amen. I'm so glad, praise God, I'm in the light. You ever hear somebody, you're trying to tell them something, and they say, oh, I see. And what they're saying is, I understand. I see that. I see what you're saying. And I'm glad for the day, praise God, when the light dawned inside of my heart and I saw myself lost and going to hell. And Jesus, the Savior, died at Calvary for my sin and blood that was shed for me. And I'm glad for that day. Amen. If we, 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of his son cleanses us from all sin. I'm glad tonight, thank God, we're walking in the light. We're not blundering out here in the, you know what's wrong in America and what's wrong in every country in the world? They're blundering in darkness. And they need the light. And the only hope they have is the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can talk about politics. We can talk about who's the president, who, what Congress has done, not done, how the economy's going, whether the Dow is up or down, or we can talk about how job situations are or are not. We can talk about all that, what we need in America, and what we can go every direction. But I tell you what we really need is a good old-fashioned, heaven-sent, Holy Ghost revival, and God stirring the church of the living God. And God said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. He didn't say a thing in the world about the drunks or the harlots or the homosexuals or the other. He said, if my people. And we need tonight for the people of God get under the burden of this thing that our country needs a revival. Our churches across America be revived and really get on fire for God. It'd be amazing what could happen in America. It'd be amazing what could happen on a mission field. It'd be amazing what could happen anywhere if people that's walking in the light really let the light shine and do what God would have us to do. Walk in that light. We have fellowship one with another. Brother Couch looked familiar to me, and I had to go ask who he was because I didn't know. But I'm glad, praise God, we can have fellowship walking in the light. Amen. And we can have fellowship one with another walking in the light. Others come in, I don't know maybe who they are, but if they know Jesus, they something about when somebody say, hey, something about a kindred spirit that immediately you identify with, and amen. Isn't that good? Unsaved, they can't understand that. Unsaved don't understand why we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Why in the world do you go to church so much? And then they don't understand why you give to the church, why that money you can use for something else, or why you give to missions, or why you live a certain way. Why don't you drink this beer with me? Why, you know why they don't understand that, why they question all that? Because they're in darkness. They're blundering around in darkness. They don't see the light. You and I are in the light, and we walk in light, so therefore we see. If I couldn't see and I was walking up here tonight and I was blind, I'd blunder into this pew or that wall or stumble over these monitors up here. If I couldn't see, I couldn't see what I was doing. Hey, that's how they are. They don't see. They don't understand. And may God help us remember that the unsaved are in darkness and they'll say a lot of things and do a lot of things. And we'll say, well, why in the world are they doing that? We're in light. They're in darkness. And just remember, they need the light shined in on them. Let your light shine and begin to shine in their path so maybe they can begin to get in the light also and come to Jesus and get saved and be in the light. And I'm glad for that light tonight. Amen. Why in the world would Mark Wooker, when the doctor is telling him about how most people in his condition, I hope you don't mind me saying this, I'm going to anyway, but no, I'm kidding. I kid with Brother Mark. He's a good sport, but he doesn't care. It's all for God's glory. Why in the world can anybody in the shape he's in, going through the treatments he's going in, and somebody say, most people, that kind of cancer that you have and what you're doing don't get along as good as you are, don't usually get in remission as much as it is, or at least under some control as much as it is. And why could Linda stand and say what she said the other night about 17 years ago, they gave her 1 year to live, she's still sitting here. And but why could Mark and Linda both say this? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Well, the medicine, the doctors, they did this and did that. And even Brother Mark's doctor said, it wasn't him could get any glory. It was all God. I say hallelujah. Amen. All God. All God. Hallelujah for God. Amen. I praise him and thank him for it. And I can say tonight, I walk in light. It's all because of God. Amen. It's just to his glory, his honor. I didn't anything I did to get in the light. God did it. He saved me. I was in darkness. I was blundering around and didn't know. You see why the lost don't know where they're going? Somebody tell me about this older fella got saved. And I forget it, up in years. And he got saved and really got saved and stood up to testify and said, I don't see why everybody don't get saved. And there he spent all those years unsaved. And now he's saved. He don't understand why everybody don't get saved. Well, everybody don't get saved because the same reason he didn't get saved before he did, because he was in darkness and they're in darkness. You say, preacher, you said enough about that. I want you to get it tonight. If you don't get anything else I say, when you go out of here and you meet somebody tomorrow and they're cussing or they're not making fun of you because you live for God, or they don't understand why you do what you do for going to church. You may say something about being in church last night and they don't understand that. Just remember, they're in darkness. And they don't understand that. But you just keep on praying. And you keep on trusting God. And you keep on believing God. And let God work in his time the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us look at verse number 14. Number 4. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Now here's the fourth thing. The great privilege that we have been saved. We have the privilege because we heard the gospel. We heard the gospel. Faith was generated in our hearts. Thank God he put us in the light so we didn't have to walk in darkness. And thank God we have been redeemed by the blood. I say hallelujah for the blood tonight. And I want you to know redeemed means to buy back, bought out of, and brought out of a slave market, and brought out of the slave market and cannot be returned. I say hallelujah. Aren't you glad you redeemed? But I want you, if you redeemed, there got to be a price paid. You remember, well, just think about it like this. You take something to the pawn shop and you leave it there and they give you some money. If you ever get that back, you're going to have to redeem it, pay for it, and the extra whatever it is, and get it back. You have to pay the price. The price for sin is death. Yeah. Bible said, and they eat thereof, you shall surely die. And so we are under the death penalty. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the death penalty. But Jesus said, the word of God said in note, which is Jesus, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But said in the Old Testament, I thought I'd better clarify that real quick. But in the Old Testament, he said the life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen. And so life's in the blood. And the death penalty, and it took blood to pay the price so I could be redeemed out of. And I'm glad tonight I have been redeemed by the blood. If I could sing tonight, I'd sing, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. I'd sing another song, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Praise God for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preacher, do you believe there's any other way of salvation? I do not. It took the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. Amen. I've been washed in the blood. Thank God for the blood and the bloodline throughout the Bible. There's a scarlet thread throughout every page of the Word of God. The blood is everywhere. Thank God for the blood. But I'm glad today we don't have to offer a bull or a bullock or some other animal, a lamb or a goat or something else, and sprinkle blood. Jesus one time forever shed his blood for us. And now, thank God, we're saved. Saved. Aren't you glad it's a privilege to be redeemed by the blood? You're counted among the redeemed by the blood. Notice what verse 14 says in the latter part of it. Even the forgiveness of sins. What a privilege it is not only to be redeemed, but to know that the sins have been forgiven. You remember that weight of sin you had before you got saved? You remember the weight that was on your heart, and you felt so dirty and unclean, and you felt such a heavy load and didn't understand it, and in darkness and groping around, but then you got saved. Hallelujah. You know what came with salvation? That forgiveness of sins. Isn't it good when you realize you've done something wrong and you ask somebody forgiveness and they said, well, you're forgiven. That prodigal son came home. Boy, he was so sorry he'd messed up and so sorry he got in the mess he's in. But when he got there, he's trying to tell the father just make him a hard servant. And the father, all he was thinking about was, my son's come home. My son's come home. Amen. Well, he wasn't thinking about where he'd been in the hog pen. He probably smelled like a hog pen. He'd been down there. If you ever been around hogs, you know what I'm talking about. You can smell them. The winds are blowing a few miles away. But I can tell you right now, and we used to raise pigs when I was growing up, and you ever went to the hog lot and come back in the house, you better wash up good or mom be on your hide, because that would sure smell up the place. Well, anyway, he probably had to, how'd I get on that? But anyway, he had the hog pen smell on him, and the father didn't pay attention to the hog smell. All he knew was, my son is home. He's forgiven. He didn't say, you got to do this, you got to do that. He just said, put the robe on him and a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, kill a fatty calf, and us rejoice and be glad. Hallelujah. I say praise God for the forgiveness of sins. And some of us tonight was deeper in sin than other sin, but every one of us was in a bunch of mess, amen, in darkness and in sin, had a burden of sin. But thank God the burden's gone now. The condemnation, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. I say hallelujah, Romans 8:1. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What a privilege the saved have that heard the gospel. What a privilege the saved have to have faith generated in their hearts. What a privilege it is to walk in light. What a privilege it is to know that we're redeemed by the blood. That blood will never lose its power, so therefore we're saved, redeemed through his blood. Then forgiveness of sins. What a privilege. What a joy. Are you forgiven of your sins? Have you been redeemed? Are you walking in light or darkness? What about tonight? The gospel. You've hearing the gospel. Tonight, faith in your heart. Will you come to Jesus tonight? Then some that are saved, God's working in your heart about something that you need to just come and pray about. You just obey God. Do what God says. Father, I pray tonight that you speak to every heart, every life. Help us do what we need to do and ought to do and wish we had it done. In Jesus' name, amen.